gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay! Yay! Happy Clappy Day has come at last!
Yay! Steffi!
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
That is so
hump
true.
Days with Hal Sparks?
Yes!
Oh, I have a Happy Clappy explosion. We've missed you.
Understandably.
I've endured 2 weeks of other people going through me to get to you. I'm like, I haven't seen him either. He's busy.
Sorry, it's a bit of a tall order these days.
so I have several notes in a bottle for you.
Okay,
here.
Yeah.
Hi, Hal Sparks.
Hi,
it's Happy Clappy Time.
It totally
it's happy
is.
Happy Clappy Time.
On so many fronts.
Yeah. Julie in Seattle, one of our fellow Happy Clappy, says, Steph, as usual, he timed it just right, proposed a grand bargain, let Boner it up. Talked about it when people were hot about it, but now they've had their bill. His budget focuses on investment, puts the big cuts down the line to a time when we have some power to cut the right stuff and tax the right people, the rich ones. Oh, and looky here. It's official. There's been a huge drop in people caring about the deficit. New York Times, CBS poll out with a brand new poll shows improving marks for Obama and his handling of the economy. Not surprisingly, with the improving economy, people have just stopped caring about the deficit. It's down to 4% who think that's a... So he has also managed to reframe the debate.
Yeah.
Well, if you stop harping on something long enough to get perspective on it,
right,
then you stop panicking and start coming up with solutions. And austerity is failing so miserably in every country they're trying it in.
Right. When they fearmonger about Greece, you're taking the wrong message.
Right.
It's like, yes.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to end up like Greece.
No.
Vote out Republicans.
Yeah.
You don't want to end up like Greece.
Which economy is working the best in Europe right now? Soundly Germany,
yep.
Which was the only country that firmly went against austerity. And not only did they not reinforce unemployment benefits, but they went to the companies that were going to have to lay off workers and went, look, instead of doing unemployment and the whole the bureaucracy that's involved there, we'll pay you to keep those workers working through this downturn.
What? That's a big government solution.
Exactly. By the way, the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize to Greece. And to men who use Grecian formula. And yes, exactly.
Except for Mitt Romney.
The point is about Republicans, not about, you know, people from Greece.
No,
well,
it's
the shock doctrine.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing how people in Greece react to the fact that all their social programs are being cut because their government, the people who were running it at the time, invested all their money in Ponzi schemes and crap real estate investments. Just like
I know.
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah, doesn't it? And they're like, sorry, we're going to have to shut off grandma's food because this one banker was doing so much blow, he thought credit default swaps were a nifty idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, next time we'll totally get you. And then everybody's, why are they chucking bottles? Shouldn't they be busy eating cake?
And we haven't seen you since the whole the president also won the contraception debate.
Yeah, well,
see that?
Here's the funny thing is the debate seems to be
although the Republicans have nailed down the 2% of Catholic women that don't use birth control, I guess. They've nailed down that.
Well, and all the bishops who are trying to, like, I really do think that, like, the Catholic bishops organization, the side of it that's actually coming after this, is going, here's an issue we can hide all of our past stuff with. But since it's about the prevention of making future children,
they
don't necessarily.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right, I understand.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. We have to totally tap dance around this. But
some comments have been made about relative morality of the Catholic Church. Okay,
I'm just saying they're looking 10 years down the road.
Okay, Louise Sparks. All right, kids. Next up, I'm not supposed to mention Phoenix because it's been sold out for a long time. Never mind. Forget I said February 25th, Phoenix. March 3rd, Chicago is my point. Hal Sparks' hometown show almost sold out. Someone made a suggestion, by the way, since teabagging is kind of waning, that we change the demonstration to the Santorum Surge, like with a Gallagher kind of thing with maybe some
We're going to have to lay down a tarp.
Tim says, ignore that suggestion. Steph, I'm counting the days till I get to witness your sexy liberal splendor at the Chicago Theater. However, I think you should not follow the advice of the woman who thinks you should do a Santorum demo. You would have to rename your show the Pooh Man Group.
See what happened there.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Tim, what?
And that's why you can't get good egg cream anymore.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, what?
Jeez. Oh. All right.
What?
Go to what? Sexy Liberal on Facebook. SexyLiberal.com. New pictures up from Portland and from Philly. By the way, House Barks, have you heard? So not only did we have a curious fire alarm pulled 20 minutes before the show started in Philly. Sure, it had nothing to do with the Planned Parenthood donation.
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah, and there was no smoke. No smoke, no fire. Interesting. Yeah, and did you hear the latest? Where's my conspiracy sausage music? I don't know if you've heard this. Right-wingers with the Sexy Liberal Show. Someone from a big concession outfit, curiously owned by the Koch brothers, called every single one of our venues and said they'd been given exclusive concession sales for the Sexy Liberal Tour, which caused all of our venues' heads to explode and call Roland one after another.
Wow.
Until we found out that this person that I... doesn't exist or didn't make these calls, but it was just an effort to, you know, to tick off all of our venues and perhaps.
What do you know?
But it didn't work. Nice try.
Yeah.
Nice try, right-wing morons.
Little pathetic.
Nice one.
But how are those tickets to see Glenn Beck going? They're flying off the shelves. They're being sold like hotcakes, literally three in a stack with syrup on them.
I have to say the best prank since someone hacked, what was it? Oh, Google Maps to show our venue in LA permanently closed.
Gone, right.
Yeah. Nice try, idiots. Liberals smart enough to operate MapQuest and others drop a pin on our iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice try with that one as well. Okay.
All right. Siri, those people are asshats.
Yes.
Do not listen to them.
I'm sorry, Stefani. It is a more right-wing moron trying to...
You are surrounded by right-wing morons. Perhaps I can suggest a tour.
Have anybody seen the Siri's Trying to Kill Me movies?
Mm-hmm. No.
People are making home movies of Siri trying to kill me. All right.
I'm sorry, Dave. I cannot do that
right now.
All right. Lots to get to today. Oh, John Nichols of the Nation coming up about his new book, Uprising. The Wisconsin renewed the politics of protest from Madison to Wall Street, and lots of other great stuff. So the good news is you're here. The bad news is I didn't do my show prep. You know why?
Why? Because I'm here.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you have to do show
prep?
But
I can never be sure you're going to show up.
That's true. I'm promoting. The last few weeks I've been promoting my show launches.
Oh, do it.
A week from Monday. Lab Rats on Disney XD. 8:30 on Monday nights. Starts the 27th. We're very excited, but I've been doing press.
Write that down.
Yeah. And you can TiVo it. Believe me, they'll sooner than I care to admit, we will have 100 episodes on a constant loop on the Disney Channel, I have no doubt.
Awesome.
But it's Roland,
put a link up on Sexy Liberal so everybody can find out, write it
all
down.
All the details.
Yes.
But Monday's at 8:30 on Disney XD. Awesome. Lab Rats, yay.
Awesome. Okay, well, here's what I was doing. Lisa and I, my girlfriend, for Valentine's Day, instead of, I don't know, cooking a healthy meal, we ordered in pizza and watched every Whitney Houston video ever.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
All
here's a little bit
five
of
five of them?
Here's a little age difference. I interviewed Whitney. I was a baby DJ when because she's about my age. Lisa was seven, and when her...
Yeah.
And she and her best friend, they used to have slumber parties and lay in bed and tickle each other's arms and sing Greatest Love of All to each other. And I'm like, that is so gay.
Yeah, that's such a dead giveaway.
God. That is the gayest thing I've ever heard.
I know guys who've done that as adults.
Really?
So I don't know that...
I have to say, I don't know how you feel, but I was curiously affected by it. And Lisa was saying that, too, that all of her friends are really depressed. I know it seems weird. I don't know why. It's just
I don't know that it's... I mean, it's a sad thing. It's clearly a sad thing. I mean, it's another, you know, example of substance abuse and the sort of protective veneer that a lot of people in entertainment have that keep them doing it even well after other people would have had an intervention or been kicked out of their apartment building.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's a...
No,
that's
big
fear. That's the big problem,
I have to say, watching it, that should be what they show either in school or in rehab or whatever. If you watch the videos from her prime to some of the, you know, these later concerts and, you know, the Michael Jackson tribute and the Australia, it is so sad. Literally, her voice is gone. Her looks, she's sweaty. I mean, it just was sad. It was sad to me because she was
almost like Elvis.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, that unfortunately, it's a cliche. And you know, being one of, you know, the few kind of outspoken, you know, teetotalers, as it were, in the industry, it's interesting how much.
You're like some sort of.
Yeah, I don't drink, smoke, do drugs. I'm straight edge.
Or,
straight edge is the normal word for it, you know, phrase for it. But
literally,
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Even my beverages, even my sodas are tea-based. but it's you. It's interesting how much you get, not attacked, but you get, there's this odd backlash if you even bring that part of it up. But if you have a, if you start using to an extreme, there's a protective veneer that goes up around you. And the people that in and it's not just in this industry, it's in almost every circumstance, sort of in a social, like, bubble around you, kind of go, well, he's got a problem, and we just kind of tiptoe around that.
Well, she went to rehab three times, so you have to presume they did interventions and they did it.
Oftentimes they do, and a lot of, and by the way, you know, what they're saying is, you know, prescription meds were, you know, were found in her room, and that's more and more that's the cause. If somebody's ODing these days, it's not heroin and, and methamphetamines and that kind of stuff, although...
Well, that's why there was controversy that Tony Bennett apparently that night did a thing about legalizing drugs, and it was sort of awkward, you know, apparently to people there, because it was...
Yeah, but part of that, I mean, he's right in that it would make it more direct and overt, and people would use out in the open, and there would be less shame about it in some cases, and... Yeah, you know.
Well, it also highlights the federal government's obsession with marijuana.
Right.
When obviously, prescription drugs are potentially
way worse.
Yeah, far more dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking opiates. Alcohol. Yeah. These are opiates. These are opium-based painkillers that people are getting hooked on. I mean, Rush Limbaugh was doing, you know, he was buying 10,000 pills at a pop.
I know. And I remember the right wing's defense, because it was a right winger. They said, well, it was prescription. Yeah, it wasn't like he's a drug addict.
It's not like he's a hippie.
Like, they don't prescribe 10,000 a month. How many was he taking of
The Drug Enforcement Agency, the DEA, was actually formed originally to stop doctors over-prescribing medications, mainly morphine at the time and a couple of other painkillers. But they were all opiates. They were all on the – you know, heroin was created by the Bayer Aspirin Company, and it was named heroin – based on its heroic ability to fight pain. That was a product name at the time. That wasn't a street name. And all of these are based on Oxycontin, Oxycodone, that are the big problem drugs, are all based on, they're all opiates.
Opium.
Yeah.
Why am I hearing Jim's voiceover for the heroin commercial for Bear? Yeah,
right, exactly. Right.
It's like,
ladies, feeling stressed?
Yes.
It's like how they used to make those cigarette ads seem so zippy.
Right, yeah.
Kathleen Madigan said that this week.
It's all natural. It comes from poppy.
Yes.
Her mother's doctor used to say, smoke more. You need to calm down, smoke more.
Chesterfield's, the jogger's cigarette.
Not a cough,
my
car,
friend's
though.
Mother used to take a pack of cigarettes jogging, so it's not a joke. 19 minutes after the hour, Happy Days are here again. It's Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sahara in Canada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sahara.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Long time no see.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, on the topic of, Governor Wideload.
The governor source of New Jersey, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, speaking on, you know, he wants to veto, you know, marriage equality in the States.
Yes.
You know, in Canada, we've had marriage equality since 2005, and everything is going great.
Yeah, what's that little boot, I wonder?
What do you mean everything's going great? Everybody's getting along.
Yeah, what do you mean, socialist?
And, seriously. Yeah, everything's going great.
Socialized medicine.
The world hasn't exploded.
Yeah.
Tolerance.
Are you American yet? No. Then the world is bad. Okay, get used to it. Gay marriage has kept you from becoming an American state, and that should make you upset and afraid every morning.
Right. All right. And don't make us send our governor Soros, because we will. How's T-Rex bit come to life? Yeah, I said yesterday he is going to crush gay people's marriage equalities and gay people's dreams with his ginormous fat ass.
I mean, the absurdity, his statement about how they, you know, people should, you know, they, I'm sure the people who fought and died for the civil rights movement would have rather had a vote on the issue. Like, idiot!
Yeah.
The reason they had to fight and die is because they were overwhelmingly outnumbered by people who didn't think they deserved rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie described yesterday's vote in favor of marriage equality in the state Senate as a good bunch of theater.
Theater, you know, like with guys
bunch
in tights,
what he says all the time.
Pansies, musical theater guys. Yeah, he said yesterday was a good bunch of theater, but that's all it was. It was theater. I enjoyed him as Bobby on The Sopranos, didn't you? I really did.
I didn't watch The Sopranos because I'm not a big fan of just watching shows about criminals and trying to make myself feel better about them.
Tom in
that
Illinois.
That makes no sense to me.
Hey, Stephanie,
hey, Tom.
Love the show.
Thank you.
But I must protest the use of the term Governor Soros, which I do find insulting.
Uh-huh.
To dinosaurs.
To the dinosaurs who are not here to defend themselves.
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes.
Soros refers to lizards, and there's nothing too lizard-like about Christie.
No.
That's true.
Perhaps Christie Pachyderm.
Mm. All right. Thank you. Much better.
Not only to the shape, but his political party.
Thank you. Much. By the way, the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize to Greg. Joe Walsh. We mentioned Joe Walsh, the congressman, douche nozzle, yesterday. Teabagger douche nozzle.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Walsh, comparing him to a douche nozzle is an insult to douche nozzles. At least douches serve a useful purpose, unlike Joe Walsh.
That's true. Absolutely.
Greg Lee, Stephanie Miller Show apologizes to douche nozzles.
And that you don't mean that the guy who plays guitar on the new album?
No.
Joe Walsh.
And for the record, by the way, the idea that he's offended on behalf of the dinosaurs, as if they existed, we all know that those bones were buried by
God.
As Bill Hicks would say, the old trickster God. Going, it seems so plausible.
Back when everyone was walking their dinosaurs.
Yeah, right.
Boom chakalaka.
Absolutely.
Aaron in L.A. Hi, Aaron. You're on with Hal.
Hey, Hal. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, you know, going back to what you were talking about earlier in terms of prescription drug abuse and everything else, yes, it's funny. It speaks to our kind of backwards drug policy and healthcare policies in this country, because I worked in a community health clinic setting at one point just a couple of years ago, and I worked there for 6 years, and I saw the abuse firsthand.
Right.
I saw just even in that, and I'm, you know, used to think that people are getting on the issue of so-called drug abuse. This is why I just say, why not just legalize it all and just put regulations on it and deal with it from that perspective?
The ironic part, I think, if you quote-unquote legalized it all, people would eventually stop at the lighter stuff in much the same way that the vast majority of people drink beer or wine as opposed to hard liquor on a regular basis. Even though there's, you know, thousands of possible different variations of liquor available, the mass consumption is always in a much more narrow focus and in a lighter end of things. And the same thing would apply in this situation, I think.
Yeah. I'm keeping the box wine industry afloat in California.
That's true.
I agree.
Absolutely. I've seen your little boat that you made out of all the boxes in your garage.
Isn't
I think
great?
It's seaworthy.
29 minutes after
be
the
in
hour.
The Ark.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The devil is not the greatest threat to salvation due to last week's discovery of
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president met yesterday with China's new vice president. We wanted to talk to one of our sponsors. Gordon Brissner is the president of Solar World, whom we love. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
I think this is really an important topic, and you're the best person we can think of to get your take on this. There is a major solar trade dispute going on right now between China and the United States. Tell us about that.
Yeah, first, you know, we are working to rebuild the American solar manufacturing industry. In 1996, 45% of the world's solar products were built here in America. Today, it's less than 5%. And over the last 2 years, we've seen factories across our communities, across the nation, have plant closures, layoffs, and the cause of this harm to the American industry is a systematic dumping of products by the Chinese solar industry that is supported by a broad set of illegal subsidies from the Chinese government. So we filed petitions with the Department of Commerce and the International Trade Commission to hold the Chinese industry accountable to U.S. and international law. This allows the industry to take the first step of putting American workers back into factories across the U.S. and build a sustainable industry.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously jobs, I think, is going to be the number one issue, don't you, in this upcoming election. And, you know, it seems like whatever ideas the president comes up with, the Republicans shoot down. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's infrastructure or, you know, green jobs like you're talking about. I think this is an important issue. I mean, China's illegal trade practices, they've already led to the downsizing of 12, right, U.S. solar manufacturers and the loss of thousands of American manufacturing jobs. And I think that's going to be a key issue, don't you, in the election?
Yeah, this will be a key issue, and we're at a turning point here in the U.S. with this product. Solar is not your typical consumer product. The cost structure is ideal for manufacturing here in the U.S. A recent National Renewable Energy Lab study confirmed there is no cost advantage to producing solar panels in China. Not only that, but solar panels provide us with energy independence long-term and also provide us with a national security from that energy independence.
And, Gordon, you guys have been around for how long now?
Solar World's been manufacturing in the U.S. for over 35 years. This was a product that was invented here in the United States and really was brought mainstream by some of the pioneers in our factories in the U.S.
See, and I think this is a great American story, much like the auto industry here, you know, is that because a lot of people, when they get solar, they're like, oh, what if something happens and the company's not around anymore? You know, I mean, the fact that you guys have been here this long, doing it this long and making it in America is proof that we can do it, isn't it?
Yeah, solar is that one industry as a nation that we can build a vertically integrated industry on American soil where it was invented and keep the invention innovation here in the U.S. It's an industry that can provide factory jobs, installation jobs, service sector jobs, an industry that, like I mentioned before, can provide the energy independence and national security that we need. There is so much wrapped up in this one product, and obviously there's so much environmental benefit from renewable energy.
Well, absolutely. Gordon, you know, I don't think people realize, I was, you know, reading some, you know, facts before we had you on today, and the U.S. moved from a solar trade surplus in 2010 to a $1 billion solar trade deficit with China in 2011. Have you heard anything from the president's meeting yesterday with the Chinese vice president?
No, unfortunately, I get to read the papers like most of your listeners out there. You are correct. Leading up to this year, there was a surplus of equipment and the raw material going to China to build solar panels in China. This was a very systematic, methodical approach that China had. The equipment and the polysilicon supply going into China basically now has been dwarfed by the amount of finished goods coming back from China. So now we are a net importer of solar products in 2011, and we'll continue to see the trend going the same way. The other problem is the equipment itself has dried up going to China. Some of the intellectual property that was shipped over to China now is being built in China.
Gordon, do you have much hope, or what do you hope to see happen? I mean, and are you at all optimistic that we're going to be able to address this?
I'm very optimistic. Like I said, solar can build so many jobs throughout the industry. It can provide us with the environmental benefits, the economic benefits. It's good for consumers, and it's good for our security. It will continue to significantly grow here in the U.S., and this is the first step to start that rebuilding process that we dearly need and to build a strong, sustainable industry for the long term for American workers and American consumers.
Well, not to drag you into politics, but I will. You know, it just seems like, you know, like the president's new budget, whatever he puts out there, you know, I mean, he's taking money from ending these two wars, you know, and trying to put it into infrastructure, which is jobs. But at this point, it just seems Republicans are just against anything that is for him, that he's for, or that will help, you know. And again, you know, as you know, they made Solyndra obviously a huge scandal. I mean, anything that the administration seems to get behind in terms of trying to create jobs, they run up against a roadblock, don't they?
that I imagine that is very frustrating on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, looking from a business perspective and a perspective of a father and, you know, a taxpayer, I'd love to be able to see both sides come together and say, let's do what's right for the American people here. Let's make sure we do what's right for the next generation and put aside some of the political, you know, divisive views and pull together, because there are some great industries out there that were either invented here, built this, manufacturing built the American economy to what it was today. And we need to get back to those basics. We need to get back to the basics of free trade that is supported without illegal government intervention by foreign governments. We need to get back into manufacturing where the jobs are. We need to rebuild this economy, and we've done it before, and we can do it again. But
well, Gordon, we're going to need a whole new Republican Party for that. But see what I did there? I dragged you into politics. We need more Solar Worlds. We appreciate your sponsorship of the show, and we're behind you all the way. And thanks for taking time on this important issue. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Gordon. Talk again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
There you go. SolarWorld.com. Check it out. It's like, have you seen Mitt Romney now? Hal is calling himself a son of Detroit. As I said yesterday, sort of like Eric Menendez, son of Detroit, wanted to kill Detroit. But now, apparently, because he wants Michigan to vote for him, he is, as you know, a son of Detroit.
He really had Michigan's best interest at heart when he said, you just let the industry collapse there. Let all manufacturing collapse there. You know,
he's typical, Jim, right? He's like, no, I didn't.
Grecian.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't.
That
say
wasn't
that.
Me.
It's a Grecian formula, my friends. It's a Grecian formula. That's his whole thing. His actual economic policy is a Grecian formula.
Well, by the way, so you've been gone 2 weeks. There's a new front runner. We are in our second Santorum surge. You have not surfed the Santorum surge with us.
Oh, no, I have not.
You've been busy.
Oh, and can I tell you how, like, just giddy that makes me every time it comes up?
Get your brown wetsuit.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
What was that?
The aptly named Pew. Oh,
the Pew poll says
the Pew
that Santorum
is saying
surging.
Santorum is surging.
Wow.
Yeah. Pew's the first one to sniff it out because... Woo! Nationally, three new polls. Santorum 30%, Romney 28%. New York Times CBS poll has it Santorum 30, Romney 27. This makes him the sixth Republican to see a surge in national polls, joining Donald Trump, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, Herman Cain, and Gingrich twice.
Yeah! Santorum is on top of the heap with 30% of what's left of 20% of the population.
The not-Mitt vote that might change its mind again if okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter because Ron Paul's going to get all the delegates.
I love this. Chuck Todd writes, all it takes is a little good news, a primary victory, a strong debate performance for a non-Romney lacking these advantages that he has to give him a run for his money because of the one missing ingredient for the front runner, passion.
That's what
not
it is?
Not passionate about the mittens, no.
That's the one thing that's, you know.
Now the growing call is for Gingrich to get out and endorse Santorum.
Flowers. You don't sing me love. That's my impersonation of most Republican voters right now.
You hardly talk to me anymore.
Oh, it is just pathetic, isn't it? Did we think we would see this? It is a second Santorum surge.
Oh, it's genius. Here's the thing. Surge, nothing. The guy has won four states. Romney has won three.
Right.
And again, Rachel did a great, report on this yesterday, but Ron Paul's strategy is to just claim all the delegates, regardless of whether or not they won them at the caucuses or not.
Right.
They stick around for the after party business, and then they run to be a delegate, and then they promise their vote to Ron Paul. So it doesn't matter who voted for whom at the caucus at all, because
yes,
the delegate
the way,
that's going is going to say Ron Paul no matter what.
By the way, this is the Maine cluster update. Romney didn't win? What?
Of course he
didn't. Pressure is on the Maine Republican Party to reconsider its weekend declaration that Mitt Romney won the state's caucuses, according to the Bangor Daily News.
Bangor? I just met her.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to get to that, Jim. Just pause briefly there. There you go. A review of the town-by-town results released Saturday by the Maine GOP suggests that some communities that had caucus prior to February 11th were not counted, Caucuses in some locations were delayed by bad weather. Their votes will not be counted. Some communities in other parts of the state aren't voting until later this month, and their votes probably won't be counted. And some locations that actually voted early weren't counted either.
What? To give it to Romney. And the
still waiting for the voter ID law that will magically fix all of this.
Yeah, right. In open primaries or something like that. Doesn't matter. You know, Santorum's people, they literally went on the news and said it was gamed to benefit Mitt Romney. It absolutely was.
Right.
And I think...
And he bought the CPAC poll, apparently.
As a liberal, I want a recount because I want Rick Santorum so bad to be in the front runner. I could tell you how
to see a debate.
Oh,
all right.
Obama,
awesome. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Get sexyliberal.com for all our upcoming dates. Don't forget Hal Sparks' new TV show on Disney premiering.
The 27th.
Yeah.
Mondays at 8:30 on Disney XD. How do you like that?
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, enter the promo code Stephanie. I need to track Hal down for other people.
Yes.
Does your new show maybe erase a few episodes of The Suite Life of Zach and Cody? Because that's all they seem to play on that channel.
I do have a feeling that they're trying to... create a larger show base.
Good.
Because
am I going to have to field calls from Zach and Cody now for you as well?
Yes, you will.
Can you get Hal Sparks a message? No!
I had a complete sense now.
Small part on Shake It Up for Disney.
Oh, look at
that. I'm not sure if it's aired yet or not.
I just have mass email that goes out. Just, no, I cannot ask Hal.
I don't know where
blank.
He is. Yeah.
No, I cannot get Hal to blank. For you.
What?
Never mind.
We're in the newlywed game.
Yes, exactly.
There's no whoopee.
Right. I'm sorry. You're going to have to endure that I'm in my Whitney Houston mourning period. I don't know why. I'm very affected by the whole thing. No, I think you're a perfect person to talk about this, though. We talked about the whole drug aspect, because you are, as you said, famously...
drug-free of all, and always have been.
Party pooper.
42 years sober, as they would say.
I've said this, obviously, many times before. I've never done any drug, even marijuana. I will tell you one thing. We just talked about prescription drugs. My only experience since Sexy Liberal started, I tried Lunesta, because I had, I don't have Spider-Man blood like you, and I could not sleep. I'm not used to the... Because I go to bed at,
stupid o'clock.
And I get up at...
insane o'clock.
To do the morning
ridiculous.
Drive, and then I fly across the country, and I'm up till midnight, whatever. And it was horrible. Mm-hmm. I had to get off of it. It was...
Of course.
It was... I swear to God, I felt like I was getting, stroke-like symptoms.
It's so...
And by the way...
It's so untested, and they give them, they prescribe them, take 35 of these and go just use them.
Take 35 and call me in the morning if you're still
alive.
Yeah,
it's basically like, here, use one a night, and if that doesn't work, break one in half, use one
a
half a
night.
No,
but you were talking about doctors. I mean, I went to a sleep specialist. The only thing I did is up the milligrams of Lunesta.
Right.
And I'm like, I've seriously never taken any drug. I really don't want to, but I was so desperate from not sleeping. But
watch
Fight
Club. Chew some valerian root and try to get some exercise. It's this idea that somehow, what we'll do is we'll take... opiates. We'll take poppies, refine them down, and we stop at a certain point, and people inject them into their arms and keel over. We'll try and synthesize the part that does the good stuff without that part.
But I have no idea. Obviously, it's all speculation now because it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks for the actual toxicology or whatever. But Jim, you were reading these reports, and some people were saying that it could have been a stroke brought on by. Because they were saying there was a lot of weird behavior that could have been pre-stroke, but anyway,
either way, you're doing so much damage to your system.
I'm telling you, by the way, in lieu of flowers, mourners are asked to donate to the Whitney Houston Academy of Creative and Performing Arts in Jersey, where she went to school, and they renamed it. And I'm telling you, First of all, you know what? She may save some kids' lives because she is. If you even if you with YouTube now, you go on and watch these. There's no better like, you know, mm-hmm. anti-drug ad than watching some of her original videos and some of you know what happened later.
Later,
on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's umpteen different celebrities where you could watch the same arc. Unfortunately, you know, and. I'm a huge.
Well, yeah, and it was a year, right, with Amy Winehouse and Michael Jackson
right.
as well. I mean,
and, you know, and I'm as a you know, I was a huge, you know, I'm a huge Alice in Chains fan, and Layne Staley, you know, by the end of it, he was writing heroin jingles. Most of the songs he was writing were, you know, about his on his death, which he saw coming because he couldn't shake what he was doing. And if we had a more balanced drug policy in this country, treatment would be a lot more creative, and they would find ways to get people better. But a lot now, it's just done in the shadows. They swap out your street drugs for their worse, less tested chemical equivalent, and then people keel over and they're surprised. It's
Her funeral will be held Saturday in the church where she first sang as a child. It's they had talked about having a big public one, but decided to keep the memorial more personal. A spokesman said they've shared her for 30-some years with the city, the state, and the world. This is their time now for farewell. The other big controversy is whether Bobby Brown is being shut out, and he denies that he is. But, you know, it's tough. There's a lot of animosity toward him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people make their, she's a grown woman. You make your own decisions.
Right, your own choices.
There's a little bit of, well, you know, she's a woman and there's, you know, he made decisions for her and that kind of stuff. No, she was an equal partner in that. They were, she even said multiple times they were two of a pair. Arguably, she was as much, pushed them both towards drug use as he did. The question becomes, though, at what point do you seize back the reins of your life?
Yeah.
From that
no,
stuff.
I mean, absolutely.
And can you at a certain point?
You know,
that's the sad part.
The other thing how we've been talking about, because it's out there and it's been out there for years, were the rumors that she was gay and that she married him to cover. He, in fact, implied that in his book, which to me just makes it, you know, all the more tragic if that's true. That's why she made that choice originally. And but, you know, Chris, you were saying back in that day, I know, I didn't come out till last year. I mean, it was... back then, I mean, and I don't know whether it's true or not. Either way, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? If, in fact, her fear of being able that made her make that choice. It's sad, you know.
Right.
I mean, thank God I feel like things have changed, which is kind of sad. You kind of go, would it have been different now if she made it? Would she have felt...
Well, I mean, arguably you go, you know, to that concept with the Vietnam War. How, when's the last person you expect to die for a lie? Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who their suicides or their deaths could have prevented because we could have been a more open society and more respectful of people's...
I feel bad either way, even if she wasn't, just
existence.
That maybe she felt so much pressure from not wanting to be that. I mean, the fact that it back in that day, it was still seen as such a bad thing, career-wise, you know, that... Anyway, so President Obama, by the way, expressed concern for the well-being of her daughter. Mm-hmm. The White House revealed that the president's thoughts or prayers are with the 18-year-old. She's actually been in the hospital twice, which I'm concerned
too. Her daughter? Yeah.
She was stretched to the hospital on Sunday.
It's
said
not
to
that
be hysterical, exhausted, and inconsolable. They wouldn't let her in the room, you know, because they didn't know if it was a crime scene or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a... But Bobby Brown is saying that he's not being shut out of the funeral or whatever. So that's all the latest on that. All right. I can't help it. I'm getting into all the minutia.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of things you don't know about I Will Always Love You. Here's how old I am. I actually preferred the Dolly Parton version.
Sure.
I really did. I'm that person. Kevin Costner is the one that found the song for Houston. Saddam Hussein was a huge fan of I Will Always Love You and used it in a commercial. For himself, he was apparently did not seem to get that it was a breakup song. Oh. He held a bogus referendum on his leadership, blitzing election broadcast with all
imagine?
The government-controlled TV stations with I Will Always Love You in Arabic.
Both Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were Whitney Houston fans.
Yes.
Wow. Repressed much? just the idea that he was... singing to himself in the shaving mirror, just going,
yeah. Just think about it. And by the way, she's about to have a top 10 hit with it again 20 years later, as you can imagine. It's, you know, number one everywhere again. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, halsparks.com. We are video streaming on both. Mm-hmm. You streaming, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Right. I won't mention the first of the next sold-out show again. But March 3rd, Chicago, by the way, that's...
Don't talk about Phoenix. Where all the money we're donating to the Wild Horse Rescue Ranch that saves horses from slaughter.
Wild horses.
No, that was another place. We're actually...
Hang
on, I have it here.
Was it kids musicians?
Yes, it's the kids. That's a different place. We did that. Hang on. That was Portland, I believe. Wait a minute.
No, that's not Portland.
Yes, sure they the charity is going to be musicians? The Children's Symphony of Phoenix. Yes. Because their financial difficulties led to their cancellation at Symphony Hall, where we moved into, so we want to help the kids.
I see.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, and hopefully there will not be a fire alarm, which we had in Philly, caused by maybe our donation to Planned Parenthood during an emotional time. Perhaps. Who can say? All right. This one. Steph, my three daughters and husband surprised me with tickets for March 3rd in Chicago for my 61st birthday. We're all going. I've talked about your show for years. Sometimes they have an opportunity to listen. I'm happy to say they are now converts. Yay, in the words of Michelle Bachman. Yay, from Lucy. Lucy and the whole gang will be there.
Yay!
By the way, Hal Sparks, that will be the biggest sexy liberal ever. They've opened up every balcony in the Chicago theater. Mm-hmm. 3,500 seats. We're on the way to sell out.
Yeah, it's
going to be huge.
We're going to have to staple people to the roof.
Yes, huge. We will. Yeah. Those tickets are a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
And we'll take the staples out for free.
Well.
That's right before Super Tuesday, so it's going to be a super show. I feel super.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, thank you. I look cute in this hat, don't I?
I'm super! Okay. Thanks for asking.
I'm Rick Santorum, and I can't wait to win.
I'm feeling super.
Oh, yeah, we will be surfing a Santorum wave into town, into Chicago.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then, by the way, tickets almost gone also for March 31st. Coming
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
It's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque!
Ow!
On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
Hey, speaking of sexy liberals and comedy, Jim, who said, I watch the news channels incessantly. All the news stories are about the election. All the commercials are for Viagra or Cialis. Election, erection, election, erection. Either way, we're getting... Who said that?
Rip Taylor.
No, Bette Midler.
Oh. Quoting John Fugelsang from the Sexy Liberal album.
There you go. Oh, volume one. Pick it up, won't you? The number one download on iTunes and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go figure.
Mm-hmm. Doug in Cleveland with some breaking news. Mittens has a Google problem. Yay.
Yes.
Hi, Mama.
Google Romney.
It's infectious.
The third result in Google for Romney is a link to the definition of the word. A definition of Romney, of course, means to defecate in terror. Like the dog did that he strapped to his roof.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I almost Romneyed myself when I realized I forgot today's Valentine's Day, or the thought of President Santorum is enough to make me want a Romney. Why, thank you, Doug, for using those in a sentence.
Yay!
Yeah. Yay!
Yay! Woo, don't Romney. All right. Oh, this is...
Anybody would do that in the same situation. I mean, this president came into office.
Why did he
came into office? There was a severe lack of poo on the street. And now that I'm around, there's lots more of it around because I get scared easily. And
why do you think we have the magic underwear?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
really?
Jim Louise, really? I can't be expected to be coherent today. Why? Because I've been up all night watching Whitney Houston videos because I'm a little bit obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's did you know I have another I Will Always Love You fun fact? Elvis Presley was going to record it, but the deal was nixed over Colonel Parker's insistence on taking half of Dolly Parton's publishing rights.
Wow.
Huh.
And I should know because the guy that owns the show is my Colonel Parker. Because I will be doing Sexy Liberal Forever with Hal and John Sons.
So you're going to be found dead on the toilet?
Is that
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Okay. After I finish the tour in 2074 with Hal and John Sons.
After they've squeezed every drop of money from me.
Oh, is that what
Jill,
we're doing?
Jill and Madison.
That's what we're doing?
Jill and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm going to be in Chicago. I wanted to say it first. I'm going to be way up in the balcony.
Yeah.
It says I had to wait to get my tickets. It says obstructed view. So it might get sexy up there if I find a willing lap and I can't see. I'm going to be on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a little bump and grind.
Just close your eyes and enjoy the show.
Not, you know what? A little bump and grind between sexy liberal friends.
Mm-hmm. I might have to do a big run through on a wireless mic through the crap seats. I'm
I think
do that.
That's a good idea.
I'm gonna, to make sure everybody gets up and close.
I'm really looking forward to it. I know I'm going to see people there. I'm originally from Chicago, so even though I'm in Madison now. I also wanted to say, Stephanie, I also was sad about Whitney, even though it was not a surprise.
Is it Jill, is it a chick thing? Because Lisa was saying all her friends are really sad, too. And she's like, I have to stop watching these videos. I'm really depressed. I'm really, like, in mourning.
I'm still getting over Brian Jones.
All right.
Well, I mean, you know, when you brought up the fact, I did recall. I had forgotten that she, you know, there were rumors that she was gay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and...
Well, it was in all the tabloids. You know, it's been, and she was reportedly distressed by it, whether it was true or not. Right. I don't know.
And I just, you know, I want to thank you and everyone else for really bringing the gay issue, you know, into mainstream, because I think Americans really, you know, don't judge people as much as they think.
Right.
Well, Jill, we are. I mean, the fact is, we are at a very different place now than we were back then when she was coming up. And I'm just saying it's another layer of sadness for me if that's why she made the choices she made, whether it was Bobby or drugs or whatever, you know.
Right, right. And also, this is a true story. I always have my car radio on to 92.1 the mic.
Yes, thank you.
One day I got in my car, turned on the ignition, and I heard you say, "I'm a gay woman."
And you're like, "What? Well, what?
Say what?" I didn't know. Well, you had me fooled. But, you know, it is an important issue. You know, I'm not gay, but I'm, you know, everyone has their pet issues. I'm an environmentalist. But, you know, this is really important.
Were you born that way?
I was. But, yeah, it's about civil rights. And you know, we're trying to remain a free country. So it's a really important
Well, you know, Jill, there's actually a lot of issues there. I mean, the other one, Hal, I had talked about that I'd seen in a Katie Couric interview, is that I didn't realize she got so much criticism in the black community for not being, you know, black enough or trying to be too white in her music or, you know, and I just thought...
I get the same criticism.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, that's what I mean. And so there was speculation also, Jill, that was one of the reasons she married Bobby. You know, so who knows? But, I mean, and I know, I remember talking to another famous black performer saying, you don't understand how, you know, on the down low, being gay has to be if you're in the black community. I mean, who knows what combination of issues it was, but it's just sad. She just was an amazing talent.
I mean, her voice was so beautiful and. It is. It's very sad. And I'm all, you know, I love the talk about the drugs this morning, too. You know, it's
you
know, a necessary part of the conversation.
Use that money from the drug war to, you know, fund rehab. You know, I mean, it's just really, it's a no-brainer to me.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Jill. Thank you, honey. See you March 3rd. Yay. All right. While I'm in, I don't know why I'm in, you know, singer stack. This needs to be a cautionary. I just want to take a moment to talk to Adele, who, by the way, I've made up with ever since I punched her in the throat in an effort to win Best New Tour, which she snaked away from us. And Lady Gaga beat us for Best Tour. Whatever.
Whatever.
We wish them well. Honored to be nominated. Okay.
Well, unlike most the women she competes with, she does sing and dance at the same time as opposed to lip sync and dance. So,
But Adele plans
nearly fall off a riser.
Yeah.
Adele plans to take a career break to focus on a relationship. No.
Computer says no.
Who was that girl that quit ER? Remember to focus on a relationship? Oh. And then the guy left her. She was making like $10 million a year.
Susan.
I think Adele is.
Wait, what?
Sherry Stringfield.
Sherry, yes.
Sherry Stringfield.
No, do not. Adele. You are an idiot. Don't do it.
Besides, Adele is taking a break.
Seen her boyfriend. She could do better.
Adele is taking
What better time than after winning 6 Grammys? What? She plans to take a 5-year break to focus on her relationship. No! Do it.
To counter money.
She believes
and did not have to release another album right away, and everybody can sit on it, and her old crappy record contract can go away during that time.
Oh, look at you.
Same reason bands break up.
Are you not a hopeless romantic? You're not believing what she's saying?
No, I'm not.
She says it's important to concentrate on her romance because when she's prioritized her career in the past, it's led to heartbreak
in
her personal life.
Yeah, which caused her to write songs that made her millions of
dollars. Yes, and six Grammys.
Maybe she's hoping this will go into crapper. That's what she said. I'm going to this is the real thing this time. This. 6 months from now, she releases a single.
That bastard! I don't wish the best
I
for him.
I wish that you would die in a fiery car crash.
Yeah, right. I can really...
She puts Sam Kennison's routines to music.
Yeah, right.
I hope you slide under a gas truck.
And taste your own blood.
It would be a petrol lorry.
Petrol lorry,
which
yeah.
doesn't scan quite as well.
I can't believe this went as well as it did, and I'm so excited to give up all this and go hide someplace. Thanks
worst.
Very much.
I wish
because you guys are terrible to anyone. And before I end up like Whitney or someone else,
I'll find someone
you folks,
entirely unlike you.
Yeah.
Because you are... Okay.
Adele got a whiff of what it's like to be famous and went, how about this? I'm going to cash in. See you suckers later.
She believes she is a good girlfriend, though she admits her dramatic tendencies
really?
Can cause problems. She said, I'm not bipolar, but I go from, oh, my God, I love you, to get the out of my house really quickly.
So we shouldn't take this.
Oh, dear.
We shouldn't take this career news that seriously.
I want to focus on my relationship. Get out of my house,
yeah,
you
right.
bastard!
I've got to record a song
come
now.
Come back. No, go away.
One susses out she might be writing a few more breakup songs after this. So I think the Grammys are safe. All right.
Out of love. I remember that song. All right, there we go.
Well, maybe get the out of my house will be her next single. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, horizontal
I'm
bopping
not,
with Hump Days with Hal.
Not aware of that dance, the horizontal bop.
24.
I haven't seen her on
it's
Dancing
It's kind of like
the
alligator, only it involves another person.
24 minutes after the hour.
It's like it's not the centipede.
Right.
1-800-STEP-12. Patty in Tucson. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Wonderful. I just want to remind everybody of one of the two major reasons why we can't get drugs legalized. I think they should all be legalized the way they did with alcohol. Of course, number one is because of the big black market that, you know, but number two is because the private jails are making so much phenomenal profit off
right.
of throwing
mm-hmm.
people
right.
in jail. And
well,
I don't think
minor.
I heard that on there yet today, but of course that's one of the biggest reasons.
Patty, Hal makes a good point, too, that alcohol is legal and largely people drink beer and wine.
Right.
I drink my weight in box wine every day, and I don't drink hard liquor, so there I'm a perfect.
That's what they would do with the drugs. People would be buying the cheap ones because when they tax them, so many people wouldn't be able to afford. So they would get the cheapest thing they can if they even get into the drugs.
Well, a lot of times,
so it would discourage a lot of people taking
the
drugs.
Truth is, if you look at mass sales or whatever, it isn't necessarily the cheapest that people go for, especially if they're going to do it consistently. Imported beers, microbreweries, and wine are actually the strongest brands as far as, you know, across the country. And I think if you look at people who smoke pot particularly, they seem more in line with wine connoisseurs than they do with some idea of a drug user that you have, because there's lots of different choices, levels of impact and potency, as it were. Like I said, I don't do it. I'm not going to do it. I have no interest in doing it. But I also don't believe that the minute people even get a whiff of it, they're going to race down and start injecting methamphetamines into their eyeballs. It doesn't work that way. And it's a cartoon idea that's put forward by the industry.
There's people in your home state going, can you do that in your eyeballs?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I'm going to try it.
Your home state where they snort bath salts.
Bath salts,
as
yeah.
you do
they had
in your
to outlaw it. Yes.
Routine.
Uh-huh. They had to outlaw it.
Bath salts.
Mainly because, and again, that's where she's going with the, sort of the cheaper drug
right.
idea, of it. The one thing that protects people, most people, from prescription drugs is that you can't get that many of them, you know, because they're wow. expensive.
Here's some real breaking show business news, Jim. It's a network of Oprah Winfrey's that I had nothing to do with killing. There's controversy about a tweet Oprah sent. Look at the timestamp on Oprah Winfrey's tweet. Just when the Grammys were starting, she tweeted, "Everyone who can, please turn to OWN, especially if you have a Nielsen box."
Oh, Oh,
wow.
As if everyone's going to turn the dial away from one of the most watched award show ever. One big problem, Nielsen makes its rated shows sign agreements they won't openly solicit Nielsen households, especially during sweeps periods. So TV execs expect Nielsen not to issue a rating for last night's OWN as a way of punishing Oprah for going rogue. Oh, dear.
Didn't Rupert Murdoch, his company, purchase the Nielsen rating company, move their actual headquarters overseas, and then Fox News started immediately winning in all the ratings?
Right. What's your point?
She may need to ask her friend.
I just thought I'd bring that up because it's true.
She may need to ask her friend Gail King for help. She's on that there big CBS show. She may need to get a plug.
Right.
Just saying.
Well, you know, a network's like a restaurant. Most of them go down in the first 6 months. You got to be able to hang on there and pay the rent. That's all. I mean, there's so many networks that are up that it's a mystery. Like and they're just like the potato filler in your cable box.
Sleuth channel.
Exactly. You're like,
what is that?
Sleuth and ID and True are the same programming.
All right, one last entertainment
fact. Channel that does nothing
House
but
Sparks,
the future.
Daddy, new daddy, and
yes.
Hard rocker.
Uh-huh.
Keith Richards scares his daughter's boyfriends with knives. His daughter said, sometimes he takes my boyfriends to the other end of the house to show them some tricks he can do with a knife to intimidate them a little. But then he's very pleasant.
Well, after that, you don't have... Yeah, it's done. You get my point now.
Now, go back to being nice.
Fortunately, they probably can't understand the threat. It's just can't understand what he's saying, but he has a knife, and he's Keith Richards.
I'm just amazed he can do a trick with anything.
He could be saying,
guitar,
watch
you know?
Me whittle a ship.
Yeah.
You don't know what he's saying.
Can you help me clean my nails? Something.
Wow, your dad's... Or he just took him in the back and like... Would you like some of this? No, that's all right. What was my dad doing back there? Showing me a trick with a knife.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
Let's leave.
Would you like a taste? I think you can handle it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Have a snort.
John Nichols, by the way, of The Nation, at Ground Zero for Sexy Liberal, where we started,
mm-hmm.
Sexy Liberal Show for Workers' Rights, he has a great new book out. It is called Uprising, How Wisconsin Renewed the Politics of Protest from Madison to Wall Street. He's obviously does all that great work from The Nation, has been reporting from Madison since the beginning. We talk to him next on Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We do function in your absence, Commander.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34.
Panther.
It's up to the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Madison, Wisconsin, where it all began. Sexy Liberal, why Ground Zero. John Nichols. What would we do without John Nichols from The Nation reporting on all of this from the very beginning? He has a brand new book out called Uprising, How Wisconsin Renewed the Politics of Protest from Madison to Wall Street. Good morning, John.
Good morning, my dear Stephanie.
It was lovely.
And mookish type.
Yes, the mookish. The excess
I'm
mookish.
I'm not quite a mook, but I play
a
stunt one for, once a week.
Well, you have to crash.
Wonderful to see you and your lovely wife at Sexy Liberal.
In the crowd.
Yeah.
Paying customers.
How did I know? I'm so sorry.
No, that is totally appropriate. You know, can I tell you, I'm doing this book tour thing. So we did a little launch in Madison.
Yes.
And, it was a great event. The place was completely packed. All the seats were filled. And they had about 100 people waiting outside. And you know how egalitarian Madison and Wisconsin are? One of the people waiting outside was the Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court.
Wow.
And they wouldn't let her in.
Oh, my God. Well, you're John Nichols, for God's sakes.
No, but everybody's equal, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What great stuff, by the way. Congratulations, rocketing up Amazon. But first of all, let's talk about Scott Walker, because I love that he just gave a passionate speech at at CPAC on Friday,
uh-huh.
rallying against the recall, and he actually said, Lord, help us if we fail.
Well,
yes.
it, it, it might. might be the Dark Lord he's speaking to.
Yes, yes.
I was raised in a different religion, which seems to be very enthusiastic for, you know, like protecting the workers, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing about Scott Walker at this point is, so he goes out to CPAC and, you know, he's like literally, you know, giving them a new biblical entreaty to make sure that they donate to Scott Walker's reelection. But at the same time, in that speech, in the middle of the speech, he does this incredible rip of Barack Obama. He stops and he says, you know, Barack Obama said something about collective bargaining rights, so I called a press conference and I told him what for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't hear from Barack Obama anymore. And the whole crowd goes wild applauding. But today, Barack Obama's coming to Milwaukee to highlight manufacturing jobs. And guess who is elbowing his way in to get photographed with Barack Obama?
Hmm. Yes, little Scotty. Yeah.
That hypocrisy there.
Yeah, wow. He, well, and by the way, he said he took swift action to help the state's economy, that it was necessary to fix the fiscal crisis and show Wisconsin is open for business.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of fixing the fiscal crisis, so I understand this big government settlement for the homeowners, he's not using that to help homeowners in Wisconsin, is he? He's using it to fix a hole in the budget, his budget.
Scott Walker, you mean, I think the term fix the economy?
Yeah.
I mean, he really fixed it.
Yes, he did.
We've had 6 straight months of job losses in Wisconsin. It's the only state in the country with a steady pattern of job loss.
Yeah.
And so the whole economy is going up. Wisconsin's going down. That has, in fact, contributed to a budget shortfall. And the governor is, in fact, stealing the federal mortgage relief money to pay for the government shortfall, which, by the way, is roughly equal in amount to the cost of the tax breaks for out-of-state corporations that he put in over the last year.
That's odd. So he has any problems because he said stopping collective bargaining rights would fix the whole fiscal problem there. That's odd. That didn't work.
Didn't quite happen.
Mm.
But this is the really weird thing. Last year, he said $137 million budget shortfall was so serious that he had to write a 111-page budget repair bill that got rid of collective bargaining, civil service protections, state control over its lands, and local democracy. This year, he has a $143 million budget shortfall, $7 million more, and he says, oh, it's not that big a deal.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, the other thing, I'm trying to think now who said it, John. I'm sure you heard this because it's interesting you talk about the unemployment numbers in Wisconsin that literally when the latest, you know, good jobs numbers came out and the drop in unemployment, some Republicans said, well, it's the Republican governors. It's not President Obama that caused that.
It's not this Republican governor, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Look, but the bizarre thing is just to imagine, here's this governor who has spent the last year really positioning himself as the antithesis of Barack Obama, rips Obama at every chance he gets. And yet, he's in so much trouble politically, both with the recall election coming, but also with a John Doe probe into corruption in government, all these other things,
yeah,
that he's now, you know, reaching for an Obama lifeline. Today, he will spend the day trying to get as close to Obama as he can for photographs.
Nice.
So he doesn't even have the courage of his Obama hate.
Yeah, exactly. Have some convictions. So what do you think about the recall? I mean, obviously, you know, I'm hearing not just the amount of signatures, but just the momentum behind that. Most people think it is going to happen. What do you think?
Well, it's all the damn Stephanie Miller listeners.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Rabble rousers.
I have to
ne'er-do-wells.
No, they're out there in the parking lots in their trucks, and they got Stephanie Miller playing while they beg people for signatures. It's not to be underestimated that this recall movement is truly a grassroots rabble-rouser movement driven not, as Scott Walker suggests, by big, you know, union forces in Washington, but by folks like Lori Compass. There's a woman who lives out in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, you know, who not only pushed the recall of Governor Walker and the lieutenant governor, but also decided that it wasn't going far enough. And she lives in the district of the Republican head of the state Senate, Democratic strategists, everybody said, oh, you can't take him on. He's too, you know, strong. He's been there for too long. This woman, Lori Compass, offered kitchen table, collected more than 20,000 signatures, built a movement, and they're recalling this Scott Fitzgerald as well.
Wow, that's awesome.
Those are real people who listen to shows like this, mm-hmm. take their cue from a much more kind of aggressive, progressive place.
Well, John, I think, thank you. I think you can't really underestimate the Stephanie Miller factor because everything Sexy Liberal has given to wins, John. I'm just telling you. The recall, marriage equality in New York, what else? Oh, Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. That time they backed down before we even. It was just the threat of Sexy Liberal.
Mm-hmm. Now, you trained the Sexy Liberal eye on them.
Yes.
And they just, whoa, no.
Yeah. Don't get in the Sexy Liberal crosshairs.
I mean, they have to bring you into the campaign trail.
So let's talk about the book.
Stephanie Miller Show does not use the appropriate thing of crosshairs on any kind.
No, we were just kidding. That was John Nichols.
The eye, the evil eye.
Ironic thing. Yes, absolutely.
We were throwing John Nichols under the bus.
The ray gun of love.
Okay. The book, among other topics, highlights why Wisconsin matters. We're certainly seeing that around the country. The spirit of Wisconsin, right? This is where I said this started. We were there, not us, but you know what I'm saying? This movement, the 99% movement, that all started there, didn't it? I mean, it really became the Occupy movement in some ways. I mean, it can't be underestimated, right?
I think that the image of 7,000-8,000 people occupying a state capitol, literally filling the capitol for 18 days straight, they slept through the night in the capitol, and then the better part of 100,000 more people surrounding it, I mean, it does have an influence.
We just did a poll this morning that only 4% now care about the deficit. You know, income inequality is the issue in the country, and you guys started that, I think, in Madison.
I think there was a huge influence, and I think that the real test of that influence is the extent to which that these movements have freed Barack Obama. A year ago, Barack Obama was sounding like, you know, kind of Paul Ryan's errand boy. He was, he wasn't quite as bad as Paul Ryan, but he was echoing all this austerity talk, all this, you know, cut, cut, cut. And that wasn't who Barack Obama was, but he had been rocked by the, you know, brutal 2010 election results. And I think was getting a lot of pressure from people to kind of steer toward the center, steer toward the right. Now, a year later, look at what Barack Obama's talking about. Mm-hmm. Taxing the rich.
Yep.
More stimulus to create jobs. And really running for re-election as a progressive. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going all the way to where I might want him to be, but I am saying that I think that these movements in Wisconsin, in Ohio, with Occupy, have opened up our politics and allowed people like President Obama to speak in a much better language to the American people.
Well, and I think people, you know, as we've gone around the country, I mean, we were saying, I think that's part of the Sexy Liberal movement. It's not just us. It's that people, people don't want to feel powerless. And I think that, you know, places like Madison are proving that we're not. Even the Planned Parenthood debate, people are like, oh, we're not powerless. You know, like-minded people can speak out and actually change things.
Yes. That is so right.
As piece of breaking news, though, really quick, Governor Scott Walker will not be accompanying President Barack Obama on a visit to Master Lock in Milwaukee because he's had a nasty case of the flu.
Oh,
he caught something at CPAC, apparently.
No, can I just tell you what he caught?
What?
I'll tell you what he caught. He caught a little case of realizing that Master Lock is represented, the workers there are represented by UAW Local 469.
Yeah.
I have heard back and forth over the last 24 hours. This is breaking news. I didn't know. He had been planned right up till now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We'd heard over the last 24 hours he was going to be there, and he's really pushing to be there. My sense is that there's growing realization as this issue was highlighted. In fact, we highlighted it last night on Ed Schultz's show, the incredible hypocrisy of this president trying to stand next – or of this governor trying to stand next to President Obama. I have a feeling that even some of his aides might have counseled – that isn't going to work, brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of UAW members in the room. There might actually be someone who utters the word recall.
By the way, John Nichols, I don't know if you heard, but we just have to tell you speaking of right-wing dirty tricks that have fallen flat, because you'll especially appreciate this, given the, you know, the Koch brother connection with Scott Walker. But a Koch brother, you know, owned concession company called all of our theaters, presumably the Barrymore in Madison, to say they had taken over concessions for the Sexy Liberal Tour, which, of course, you can't do, and it freaks venues out. And, of course, like, I'm going to hire a Koch Brothers company.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I love that. And can I tell you about the Barrymore?
Yes.
The Koch Brothers don't know how to sell that much beer.
John Nichols, the fabulous new book is Uprising, How Wisconsin Renewed the Politics of Protest from Madison to Wall Street. John, always a pleasure, honey. See you in April. We'll make sure we get you in this time.
I'll be looking for you.
We will have you guys.
It's a great pleasure. And people in Wisconsin really do listen and love you.
All right. Love you too, honey. There he goes. Okay. John Nichols. We will have him carried in by,
sedan chair.
Pardon me?
Sedan chair.
By sedan chair. John Nichols will be carried in by sedan chair.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Chair dancing is free, Ustream. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, Hal hasn't been here for 2 weeks. Some Wednesdays I get coal in my stocking. Some days he's here.
It's magic.
Okay. And it's happy clappy time for the president again. We win again. House Senate talks on renewing payroll tax cut that delivers about $20 a week to an average worker's yielded a tentative agreement yesterday with lawmakers hopeful of unveiling the pact Wednesday, sending the measure to President Obama as early as this week. The deal would not only be a win for Obama, but would take the payroll tax fight, which put Republicans on the defensive, off the table in the fall election campaign. The president yesterday.
This recession turned out to be a lot deeper than any of us realized. Everybody who was out there back in 2009, if you look back at what their estimates were in terms of how many jobs had been lost, how bad the economy had contracted when I took office, everybody underestimated it. People thought that the economy had contracted 3%. It turns out it contracted close to 9%.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was the issue that and they've been pushing this all along. But that was the big problem, was that they went, okay, we can get the employment numbers
right
down to a reasonable point, and then they went, oh, by the way, we were lying about 6% of that growth, where the problem was a lot worse. That's why Hank Paulson looked like he was going to pass out, and he's one of the orchestrators of it.
The Christmas treasury poo. Mr.
Hank. But he's just like Captain Flop Sweat, and he came on. he literally came on as if he was going to announce that a giant meteor was headed towards the Earth, and that he was partly responsible for steering it in our direction.
Yes.
I turned on the magnet. That's what he looked like.
The president on the payroll tax
cut. Just pass this middle class tax cut.
Do it.
Pass the extension of unemployment insurance. Do it before it's too late, and I will sign it right away.
Jim, did you actually see Boehner yesterday? Well, we're doing it despite the Democrats' obstructionism.
Living the American dream in a tavern.
I can't back him on that.
Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
Pretty clear, at least to me, that the payroll tax is going to pass. The question is whether it's going to have unemployment connected with it in some fashion, SGR, and some of the extenders we're concerned about.
Wow, Winnie the Pooh
is
so smart about the issue.
I know it. At least the Republicans didn't slip in little things like they always try to do to get things in return, have to blow up Iran.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was this thing? What was this rider to do with the payroll?
Preschoolers to be able to carry hand grenades to lunch.
Just sign it.
Yeah.
Here's the payroll tax cut.
I'm going to put this in here. Do it.
Senator,
if you want middle class tax cuts, you're going to have every family gets a tactical nuclear weapon.
Senator Mitch McLaughlin was yesterday.
The conference appears to be going nowhere. And the difficulty we've had going back to December is getting our friends on the other side to cut any spending anywhere.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, that's been the difficulty.
Because that's a dumb idea.
Turtle tunnel.
Well, I'm sorry you missed yesterday. For some reason, how we stumbled onto what Mitch McConnell looks like when he takes off his shell to have sex with his wife on Valentine's Day. I'm sorry. I don't know what caused us to go there.
I think par for the course. I would just go with that seems quite normal. I don't think that there's a change in direction or a ballast or a shift in weight that would cause a catapulting in that direction. No, I think that's pretty normal for this crowd. I think left alone to your own devices when dealing with things like budgetary math issues, you're going to come up with what does he look like when he takes his shell off and has sex with his wife on Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Sure. It's a Valentine's
you
joke.
You missed the breaking news that Mitt Romney was a severely conservative.
Oh, severely.
No, yeah.
Governor.
Super duper conservative.
Yeah, yeah. It chafes. He's so conservative. He's not a compassionate conservative. I do this completely without any lubrication whatsoever.
Yeah, here he is again.
Conservative values were also part of my business experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because in business, you don't have a choice about balancing your budget. You either balance your budget or you go bankrupt.
Mm. No, you don't, actually. When you're establishing or maintaining a business, most businesses operate on rotating lines of credit and the like. That was part of the problem with the downturn.
Or you just put all the debt on the company and fire a bunch of people and then take the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, this it drives me nuts when people are like, our debt to income ratio as a country, we should sit down like a family around if you had to vote on your mortgage every month, you'd be in an apartment. You would always vote it down because compared to what you make, your mortgage is an outlandish amount of money, but you're planning on paying it off in 35 years, and that's a reasonable use of your money rather than just renting. But again, Republicans are renters. That's all. They don't want to be here. They want to move all their money to the Cayman Islands and get the hell out of the country. They don't like America at all. Print that, Breitbart, you Nick Nolte mugshot-looking freak.
He is. Hal Sparks made this point earlier. He is looking more and more like the Nick Nolte
mugshot. Yeah,
every conservative conference.
Yeah, right.
I roll my car again?
Is there does Breitbart go to a stylist that looks like we do mugshots?
We only do mugshots.
Crime scene photos.
And boudoir photography.
Yeah, people have been in fights at sports stadiums after soccer matches. Mm. Like, we can make that any look happen for you, Andrew, whatever you would like.
By the way, Mittens has released his first anti-frothy mean TV ad.
Ooh, I bet it's scathing.
Julie says the narrator sounds like Siri on meth and really mean. The group attacks Mr. Santorum for voting as a senator to raise the debt limit, increase spending, request earmarks, and let convicted felons vote. Rick Santorum, big spender, Washington insider. That's how the ad.
Really?
Google him.
Washington insider. Right, yeah, that's the guy who lost his senatorial bid.
Rick Santorum getting a little screechy with some protesters.
I think it's really important to understand what this radical element represents. Because what they represent is true intolerance.
True intolerance to our intolerance. How am I supposed to be intolerant if you're intolerant to my intolerance?
Gay people to having sex with dogs. So male dog sex, that's not intolerant.
You don't understand. You having rights, mechanically affects my life zero. It actually doesn't affect my life at all, but it makes me feel weird.
It offends me.
Yeah.
I will not tolerate any more of this glitter. Stop it.
I want you to have fewer rights in hospitals and in legal fights and to everybody else, but I still want to be able to, because I don't want to have an awkward conversation with friends.
Eric in Harlem,
pass
you're
a
on.
Law.
Hey, Eric.
Hey,
hello.
Mama, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead, honey. About 30 seconds. Go ahead.
30 seconds, really. What I just wanted to talk about was the pain relievers and Whitney Houston. I'm really sad about the death. Right now, a lot of what we're hearing is speculation. But what I wanted to say was, I wanted to give a shout-out about something called Suboxone. It's not really popular because it's a pain reliever that doesn't let off any euphoria. And because it doesn't let off any euphoria, most doctors won't prescribe it as a pain medication because it has very, very low addictive
not surprising.
Properties.
Huh.
Yeah. No, good point.
You
all
can't
right.
get addicted to it.
Yep, 58 minutes after the hour, right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. Sexy liberal, his own bad self, right here in the L.A. Bureau all 3 hours. HalSparks.com. We are video streaming. Check out HalSparks.com to find out information about his upcoming Disney show.
That's true. Lab Rats debuts a week from next Monday, the 27th. 8:30, Disney XD. If you have kids who watch the Disney XD channel, it's already over. You already know that. They've been running promos. I got my first, they're playing ads for it before Star Wars Phantom Menace and Journey 2, I'm amazed. Awesome. And then they've got, there's billboards all over the country, and somebody took a picture yesterday of like a mall in Maryland with a big, you know,
one sheet.
It's really cool.
Yay.
And the kids on the show are amazing, and I part of me just wants it to be a huge success just for them. They're great.
Do it for the kids, because I still believe children are, okay, maybe too soon for that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. You can see Hal Sparks live in person, which is, I'm speechless.
I wrote 45 minutes of new material of flappers on Sunday night. It was a good time.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Sexy
yeah.
Liberal on Facebook, SexyLiberal.com. Check it out. All the upcoming tickets going fast. Lots of sellouts already. So hurry, get your tickets. Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of Facebook, oh, dear. Coach resigns after posting nude Facebook photo. High school football coach who posted a nude photo of him. Listen,
that wouldn't be just Facebook, then, if it was nude.
He posted a photo that was intended to be seen by a personal friend.
Uh-huh.
Was inadvertently posted to the public.
Yeah, well...
You know, we're from the L.A. City Schools District. We're like, whatever.
Whatever!
Did it involve spoons? All right, I don't want to.
Never assume
it.
Anything you put on Facebook is only going to be seen by one person.
Yeah.
I'm sure, even if you just send it privately, those pictures are being seen by... some sort of weird habitual masturbator in a cell someplace in a basement in the Facebook dungeon. You know, because Facebook is now such a giant organization that they probably have their own kind of, you know, Scientology offshoot camp where they go, this is where we send all our people to, you know, who have to
all
check the photos.
All I can say is thank God for my horrible self-esteem because there are no nude pictures of me anywhere.
Well.
What?
As far as you know.
Yeah.
As far as you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. There was at the Austin Sexy Liberal. I forgot about that.
Yes, and you do take pictures of...
There's a girl after my own heart. Naked Texas cowgirl arrested after slow-speed police chase. She was naked except for a pair of cowboy boots. She spotted cops, took off in a Jeep at 3:10 a.m. on a slow-speed chase, and then drove onto a sidewalk. She appeared to be intoxicated. All right. Appeared. One time in Austin, I did it.
Cowgirl.
Who hasn't done that in Austin? Once.
She's floating across the ceiling.
Yeah. Like a naked cowgirl.
Glenn Campbell needs to do one
riding more. Riding up on the sidewalk, trying to get away from the cops.
Well, here's the kind of cattywampus political year we have. Roseanne Barr pulls 6% against Obama and Romney in a national presidential poll.
Yeah. She's not, by the way, she's not winning 6 points over that. She has 6 points. She's at, well, he's at 48 or 47. Mitt Romney's 42. She's got 6%. She's above undecided, though. She's beating undecided by a point.
She could be the new not Romney. You don't know.
Oh, she would, she would surge.
She has a more soothing voice than Sarah Palin. Why not?
I'm running to be the green candidate.
Why not?
Okay, Frothy, who is, I guess, what time is it? I guess he's the front runner. What?
Be in a country that provides us equal opportunity. The chance to live our dreams, not his dreams for us.
Unless you're gay.
But our dreams for ourselves.
Unless you're a woman.
Pardon me?
Unless you're a woman in the military.
Oh.
In which case, you can fly a small plane.
A little dainty petite one.
Women, pink. You know, draw fire.
You can fit your parasol in.
I didn't think women shouldn't be in the military. They make great bait.
How about this? Oh, please let Frothy be the candidate. Frothy made Cruz top three most corrupt in 2006. Less than 2 months before suffering one of the worst losses in the Senate, in Senate history, was named one of the three most corrupt senators by Cruz, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics. Yep.
Hmm.
The officials named in this report have chosen to enrich themselves and their family and friends by abusing the power of their office rather than work for the public good. Senator Santorum's ethics issues stem from a manner in which he funded his children's education and his misuse of legislative position in exchange for contributions to his PAC. and his reelection campaign. They filed an ethics complaint, also another one, alleging Santorum violated the Senate gift rule by accepting a mortgage from the Philadelphia Trust Company, a bank that serves affluent clients, charging that ethical trespasses have become the norm for Senator Santorum. They cited his contempt for the rules as particularly ironic, given that Senator Santorum has long attempted to position himself as the poster child for public morality. Thank you, crew.
By public morality, he means no homos.
Yeah, right. Well,
it's not
yes.
Financial stuff. That doesn't.
It's the only kind of immorality there is homo gays.
I mean, the whole point of being in office is that you can get some of that, you know, major business donor. After you get out of office, you're hooked up, man. That's the whole deal. That's what it's about. That's why I'm running for office. I'm not going to win.
I don't care about this country.
So that later on, they know I'm going to be on Fox News, so I can rake in some
Hey, Nudie's going positive now, everybody. Frankly. Hey, hang on. Don't get whiplash. What? This is, frankly, it's his new, he's going, the angry attack muffin is going positive now. He hopes to accomplish yet another
really pleasant
political
attack croissant.
Yeah.
He's setting Callista's loose on them.
By switching to a positive, he says he's backing off his attacks on Mitt and Rick, moving forward. Newt, yesterday.
When we went back and analyzed it, I do dramatically better when I focus on the nation's problems and I focus on the nation's solutions. I don't do nearly as well when I focus on my competitors.
And it's not easy being green, frankly.
No.
Just ask,
by the way, at an event in Pasadena, he got a question from Orly Tates, the birther dentist.
Orly Tates.
Attorney.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yes. She said that she took her, laid out her arguments against Obama, told Gingrich it could be a boost to his campaign if he picked up the issue, which, sadly, might be true.
Yeah, no, it won't. I mean, it might be to his temporary campaign and amongst the Kookaburra, whoever's left of the, you know.
By the way, this could be all over for Newty. No guarantees for Gingrich in Georgia. That's where he served. Mm. He spent 10 terms representing the Atlanta suburb. That could be why he won't win Georgia. He's ahead presently. The GOP Georgia chairman said, Newt's been gone so long, the people are so transitory in Georgia, a lot of his great supporters have moved on, a lot of them have died.
Really?
Yeah. So if he doesn't win, and the other thing is, what do you call it? Frothy is ahead. There's a Santorum surge, even Michigan, which is
that's not surprising at all, especially considering Romney just reiterated that he would have let it fail. He just wrote an op-ed saying, should fail, and that's and what we've got now is crony capitalism instead. That's what he accused.
Accused Obama of crony capitalism.
We're out. We're out of the business. We're out of the car business. It's stupid.
Yeah, well, didn't he just say yesterday, he said, oh, he's the son of Detroit, and now he just, doubled down on.
Right.
Yeah. As I said, he's the Eric Lyle Menendez, son of Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to destroy Detroit. I'm running for office for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake. For Pete's sake, did I say that? Let them go bankrupt? Why?
He's just looking at them like, you know, he looks, I think, at industry like an organ salesman would. You know what I mean? Like, it looks at a sick person, like, you know. We could try and revive him, but that's a lot of money. I mean, cancer cure, blah, blah, blah. He's got a lot of good organs in there. I mean, the liver's no good, but we could sell that heart for, you know, cha-ching. I mean,
why are you calling me a vulture capitalist?
I mean,
what?
Just as a doctor, I would look at every person that came across my table as sort of a Chinese dissident. Like, what can we get for the parts? Honestly, you're worth more dead
just
than alive.
Just saying, that is a juicy-looking liver. You know?
Yeah, right.
David Crosby may need that.
Yeah, there's a lot. There are Law and Order episodes about how he treated companies. Woke up in the park with no kidneys. I went out on one date with Mitt Romney.
Woke up with no internal organs at all.
Oops. Yeah. Oopsie.
I didn't sexually take advantage. I just sold off the organs. That's a reasonable thing. I mean,
look at the bright side. You've lost a lot of weight.
Look, I paid for
dinner,
didn't I? If
you're watching Ustream and I see Hal Sparks, it's his physical Mitt Romney impression that is like Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
He does.
It's only the top half of him moves.
Shoulders are completely still, and every time he looks like he was surprised as someone walked in on him attempting to sleep with their wife. Look, I was going to sleep with your wife, but I couldn't figure it out. And then here comes Barack Obama, all charming and nice. And then, you know, and then it's a lady just left with him. I don't know what happened. But the point I'm trying to make is, how much would you like for this house? Because I could sell the walls and the roof and the floor for different pizza.
I mean, can I have your copper wiring?
Yeah, exactly. Just bulldoze it. By the way, I unhooked your cable.
All right,
I notice he has real tiny mincing steps, too, when he gets out of the airplane.
Oh, because he's hesitant, because he doesn't trust any room he goes into, because everybody hates him.
You know what I think the worst thing is? It's that rich person horse face laugh that he does, that I've seen in several photos. Shake my hand!
I don't know what's funny, but I'm laughing for the camera.
It says laugh at the teleprompter.
He said, just like a real human.
Yeah.
All right, 60 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next. Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World's been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. 22 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Sexy Little House Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's All dive right. into the right-wing world, shall we? Let's see what's doing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, Dick was starting with Dick Morris. How festive is that? Dick Morris on the Hannity.
Then you remember that ABC debate with that paid Democratic hitman, George Stephanopoulos, went after Romney trying
friend of yours, Dick.
Trying to pin him down on contraception. And Romney kept saying, George, nobody wants to make contraception. No, but do they have the theoretical power to do it? Remember, it was 5 minutes. People were laughing at him, booing him. Well, that
was... He was doing this on direct
under orders.
Yes. George Stephanopoulos works under direct orders from the White House.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Duh. Of course he does. That's, I mean, honestly.
Oh, he's so ridiculous. There's no need to even comment. Okay, Jay.
Sure there is.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. They have to believe there's a coordinated campaign because that lets them off the hook for the fact that the public has moved on.
Right.
That the public is actually behind it. That this meme that it's a coordinated campaign from the White House instead of a genuine reaction to where the country is.
Plot.
Yeah, exactly. Makes because then they'd have to.
This is what Newt Gingrich tried, just attacking the media, attacking the moderator. It's like they just keep. It's like a wheel of like.
How dare you ask me questions? As if you were a moderator.
Yeah.
Right.
So now that's the new meme, is that the moderators are all not just liberal, but paid by and on orders from the White House.
Right.
Okay. All right. Jay Sekulow. Yes, Fox regular on Hannity.
Free exercise clause of the United States Constitution protects religious institutions. That would be like saying, Tamara, that if the government decided that pork was the appropriate meat for healthy living, this is what the left's doing. They are ignoring the free exercise clause. This is a religious liberty case. It has nothing to do with abortion. It has nothing to do with contraceptives. It's the government telling a religious institution the cost of you existing.
Well, okay.
That's
look,
the liberal not getting a chance to talk.
Guess what?
I'm going to keep making noise about it. When I say makes no sense, it's a matter because you can't talk.
Guess what? You can avoid all this. This is the same thing that happened with the Catholic adoption centers not wanting to let gay people adopt, even though it was the law that they should be allowed to.
Right.
You can do it. You just don't. You can't get federal
government
funds.
Money. Thank you.
The minute you want to operate within the secular world,
you can
then
be
you
a
have
bigot.
To operate
you're free.
On the,
yeah, you're free right. to be a bigot in America, then, not with government money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're making everybody else participate in your bigotry.
Thank you.
Morons.
Thank you.
You can come up with the dumbest ideas
that
you're allowed.
That is the dumbest idea ever.
Can I just say she was right about that? That was the dumbest analogy ever.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like the government forcing you to eat pork. What?
Yeah. You know what? He would be right. If, in coming up with that thing that pork is the perfect meat and they figured out a way to grow it in a petri dish and fuel it with omega-3s and every vitamin you would need, you need one piece a day to live forever, but they gave religious exceptions to Jewish organizations, Jewish churches, and the ability to opt out.
Even though it's not really pork.
Yeah, even though it's not really pork. You could opt out if you're a part of those organizations. It would be a good analogy because that's exactly what happened here. Insurance companies can offer plans outside the secret.
Yeah. Real pork was not harmed in the making of this
sketch.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
And we weren't even talking about real pork. No, we were talking about magic pork from space. Space pork.
Andrew Piggy?
Yeah.
Andrew Napolitano on Fox and Friends.
Can they force other religions to do things against their core beliefs?
Yes.
Because they, the secular government, think it should be done. Can they force Jewish people to eat pork?
I mean, it's ridiculous.
But 5 years ago, you would have said it's ridiculous that they'll make the Catholic Church pay for contraceptive devices. This is a government that doesn't recognize the constitutional restraints on it that we expect of all governments.
Wow. What did pork ever do to you?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, to him?
Hmm?
Well. I think it's clear what pork did to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it took
his forehead.
I don't want to end up in an Oprah situation, but I'm gonna go with you might want to slow down on it.
All right. Rush Limbaugh on the very same subject. They just can't get off of this.
Why is the regime and the Democrat Party hell-bent on contraception being free, provided by government, mandated by government via insurance? Why? I don't pretend to know every answer to this. I think it's multifaceted. But I do know that there was a culture of death associated with the Democrat Party.
Associated.
They are obsessed with it.
You're obsessed with associating it with them. These are the folks.
Right, but see, contraception prevents abortion, so how would that be?
Exactly.
That would be less death.
Yeah, well, okay. I don't know. They're pro-death penalty. They applauded the idea that Rick Perry may have killed an innocent man and said it takes guts to kill an innocent man.
They're for quantity, not quality of execution.
I would like to hear them say the same thing about the Romans about 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing part to me, is that they'll go, you know, there's a lot of talk about how the Democrats act a certain way. Yeah, from you.
Some people say.
All right, I hate to do this to you, but it's Laura Ingraham and Brian Kilmeade.
I mean, you have the president campaigning now, and he puts out this budget, which does not represent any serious attempt to cut the deficit. He promised it would be cut in half by the end of his first term.
I mean, he's doubling taxes in some cases. He also is not tackling entitlements, mm-hmm. which I think is basically a crime.
Oh, it's a crime.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
It's a crime.
It's a crime for us to feel that we're entitled to the money that we paid into the system all our lives.
Right.
That's a crime now.
Well,
wow.
You know, let's be honest. These people didn't deserve this. They were supposed to die by now.
Yeah, exactly.
Be a good American and die by now, says Brian Kilmeade.
Exactly. That's
their
whole plan.
At least that's what I'm inferring from what he's saying.
And die. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, one more a smidgen, really.
Oh, for God's sake, just die.
Okay. It's a very simple plan. One page. All right. Right back with a smidge more Right Wing World. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why don't you tell Holly nothing unethical happened and that you just like to sleep around?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Yay. I speak for all of us when I say yay. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we finish up Right Wing World, Bill O'Reilly on the president's budget.
Bottom line, Mr. Obama is spending far more money than any other president ever has.
Oh, please.
And tax revenues down because the economy remains shaky. So let's all do the math.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama continues incredible government spending, yet tax revenues remain low. It's obvious Mr. Obama is rolling the dice. He understands the situation and apparently believes a massive federal debt's not going to harm the country anytime soon. Also, he's calculating that the American voter has changed into a person who wants free stuff from the government and is willing to sacrifice some freedoms in order to get the free stuff.
I'm talking completely out of my ass.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I hear the sound of my voice, and that comforts me.
In fact, at home, I call myself talking points. Honey, talking points would like the gravy now.
I've never seen the words I'm reading to you right now before this very second. They're piped into my face via teleprompter from a stranger in another room.
I'm merely pronouncing sounds that have no meaning as far as I know.
And the checks just keep coming, so I don't question.
Al, what? The president's budget? Is there something radical about taking the money from the two wars that we've ended that the American people largely wanted us to end, putting it into infrastructure and creating jobs, which the American people largely are behind?
The American people suck!
Making
the rich pay their fair share, which I think the latest poll I saw, 77% of Americans would like income inequality addressed in that way.
If you look at Bush-era economics, then yes, this is completely radical. If you view Bush-era economics or Reaganomics as the status quo or the norm,
the Republicans view
this is
Bush
ridiculous.
As radical. They think it's radically liberal what he did, and they need to double down and make it even worse.
Yeah.
On income inequality.
He was just, he wanted too
liberal.
Many.
Yeah. Tommy in Palm Springs. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Happy after Valentine's Day, and congratulations on your show. I haven't talked to you for a while.
Thank you.
But, you know, these right-wingers drive me nuts with their Sean Hannity saying how Obama's violating the Constitution.
Right.
He's a constitutional law professor.
Yes.
That means he taught it. You know, he didn't just study it or, you know, way more than any of anybody over there at Fox. I'm quite sure he's well more, you know, acquainted with it. And not only that, but they don't let you teach it to their up-and-coming, newly forming lawyers in this country unless you
have a firm grasp of it. Right.
Like, probably backwards, forwards, inside out, upside down, say it, recite it backwards in your sleep.
Remember, they were pushing the meme and, you know, the idea that he didn't deserve his, you know, his position in school, that it was a affirmative action hire,
yes.
And that, you know, he didn't know what he was talking about. And, I mean, the assumption they're running on.
And by the way, get me some iced tea, MF-er.
Yeah.
Right.
That's an educational food stamp. They just give you president of, you know, Harvard Review just for being black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for showing up. What do we got laying around? Anybody, what do we got over here? I got a doctorate. You already
don't say how MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Right.
Okay. Speaking of Right Wing World and the Fox News, did you hear Liz Trotta say that women service members should expect to get raped?
Yes. Yes, I did hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And
oddly, women vets are not really happy about that. Criticized Fox pundit's breathtakingly offensive claim that women should expect sexual assault.
I don't, it might be shocking to some people, but I didn't agree with
Trotta said women service members should expect sexual assault and complain about levels of bureaucracy that support women who've been raped too much. So apparently, inherently, there's a correct amount
to
be raped.
There's a reasonable amount of rape.
Yeah. Now Trotta's facing some backlash, oddly.
Oh, really?
Yes. Kayla Williams.
That is so wrong.
Caitlin Williams, former sergeant and Arabic linguist in the 101st Airborne, who also served in Iraq, said the level of ignorance in Trotta's comments is astounding. Trotta's implication that women in close contact with men should expect to be sexually assaulted, she said, is breathtakingly offensive, as is her baffling reference to women who are now being raped too much. Frankly, I don't even know how to respond to someone who holds such a low opinion of those who risk their lives in defense of our country every day.
Yeah.
The executive director of the Service Women's Action Network said it has become a desperate but popular myth among commentators recently that women's presence in the military necessarily means they will get raped. First, the mere presence of women in the workplace does not turn men into rapists. Secondly, the majority of victims of military rape over time have been men. We had a caller we think it was one of these right-wing plants, Hal. He's like, I'm a liberal, and I'm in the Army, and you can't control 19-year-old guys. That's just, it's not the women's fault, it's guys.
Yeah, actually, the whole purpose of the military is to control 19-year-old guys. I mean, that's the whole, they go through weeks and weeks of training to do exactly what they're told.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when they commit a crime within the ranks, they go to jail for it, within the ranks of it. Now, if they're not being prosecuted for raping someone in their unit, male or female, that needs to be fixed. End of conversation.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that blaming the victim or the person being in that circumstance.
Yeah, oh, she won. Look at her wearing those tight panties.
Yeah, men are so inherently rapey. We can't, you know.
Yeah, camouflage makes men rapey. Any
I'm trying to fight
that.
For freedom over here, but it's hard to. I can't stop getting all rapey. Like what? That's like that's the
same
gay argument.
First of all, you're wearing camouflage, so I raped you by accident. I didn't see you there. Because you blended in with the, I just was
at
walking
point,
that
just,
way.
I thought I was hitting the deck, but turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was you. You were the deck.
I was tapping the deck.
At some point, they're going to have to conflate their, you can't have gays there because a guy can't focus on shooting people if there's another guy looking at him. That whole problem.
What man's going to resist a knapsack and combat boots?
I can't decide between being irked out by the guy winking at me or whether I should rape this girl. I haven't fired a single shot in anger in weeks. I mean, it's absurd. But what do they got left? The economy's turning around. The numbers are improving. That's their the national security is something Obama has clearly stuck his flag in permanently.
Only one solution: more gay guys in the military.
Yeah. At this point, all they've got left is culture wars. That's the only thing they're going to be able to use to motivate their
contraception is murder.
Right. Contraception, abortion, and gays, and women in the workplace. I mean, they're going that far back. Like women shouldn't be working. They should stay home and make babies. Like. What are you, Chun from Remo Williams?
Kathy in Ventura. Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I had a thought. If the federal government can't determine what a religion does in practicing its faith, then Mormons should be able to practice polygamy, right?
Uh-huh.
And if polygamy is legal, then the conservative specious argument against gay marriage goes away, too.
Oh.
But where's the fun in that?
Kathy, you're too smart.
Yeah.
That's what?
Are you saying they've painted themselves into a corner but with both their economic and social policies? Pshaw. Well, that's exactly it. I mean, at a certain point, your striking intolerance kind of gives you very little room to move. That's where the Tea Party freshmen in the Congress have found themselves. Because they can't compromise because they ran on no compromise.
Yep. Jim in Virginia. Hello, Jim.
Hi. First, I wanted to just say great to meet you guys in Philadelphia.
Yay!
Great
nice
show.
To be meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks
to be met.
Well, I hate to disagree with you. I have to offer one correction. That actually, the thing with the Catholic hospitals is not just because they take federal money. They are regulated as employers. Basically, religion doesn't get to trump employment regulations, and even Scalia has ruled that way in the past.
Right, because you're involved in private business.
Right. Yep.
If you're, it doesn't, you don't need to hire people to run your books if you're a church. You can actually have the deacons do it. You don't have to hire that workout. You do not have to pay people to run your collection plates. You do not, you have to contract with people to build the place. But if you actually have contractors or people who are qualified to do that work within the church, they can build the church on their own. And you're entirely outside that federal work point. The minute you start hiring other people, though, and not giving a crap what religion they are, then the rules change. So it's, same kind of implication, though. It's the idea that, if you're going to take federal money to adopt, or if you're going to hire people to do, secular people or other religions, you're going to hire Jews or Muslims or,
Trying to bring us back to pork, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to build a building out of pork.
Out of pork.
It works like this. Okay, government, Obama wants people to build buildings
out of pork.
He's going
to make people make dreidels made of pork.
Yeah, right.
That's what
pork
this
dreidels.
President...
This is what they're going to be screaming at the polls.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Pork dreidels. Here they go.
Christmas Hanukkah's a good dreidel. I made it out of non-pork meat. My Christmas Hanukkah's a good dreidel. Can you feel its kosher heat? My non-pork dreidel is so yummy. I put it in my mouth. I can feel it in my tummy. I think it's heading south.
All right, that's enough. Katie in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Katie.
Happy hump day, sexy liberal.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I'm awfully tired of listening to men discuss my health, and no offense
right.
to the lovely, sexy liberals sitting in that studio and listening, but at a rate of 2-1,
yes.
Network News is having men on to discuss
That's
it.
Right.
And not only does the First Amendment and the preamble and multiple places, Section 8 or Article 8, Section 1, give me the rights to my general welfare, which would include my health and my control over my body. But women start going to the doctor annually about 20 years before men. I mean, my health care is already...
Katie, listen, I don't know where you're going with this, but if you're going to try to get between a man and his doctor and his boner pills, don't even start.
Yeah.
Don't even get up into his privacy like that.
Yes, I must apologize to Rush and everybody, I guess, for that.
Yeah, and yes. all the other sex tourists in the world who...
oh, no, he gets off market chubby pills, doesn't he? Jim, I don't think his are even prescription, are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're off market Viagra.
Didn't he get stapled? Didn't he get his
probably
stapled?
His own private lab.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it cooks him up. His housekeeper got a degree.
Dave in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Could you refresh my memory of the position that Obama got? It was the Yale Law Review or Harvard?
No, Harvard. He was the president of the Harvard Law Review, which yeah. means he wrote it.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. This is even more odious than you first make it out, because okay, the assumption is of course that Harvard was said to themselves, okay, we're gonna set aside this position for a black student.
Right.
Sure. So, well, not so just a black student, but a Kenyan Muslim who will hopefully one day be president.
Right.
Yeah. Well, which will also be an affirmative action thing.
But even within, like, that criterion, they've cut out a lot of people. So Obama comes in, and he's going to compete with any other black student that wants it. Those people are implying that, you know, there is no talent. There aren't, you know, thousands of brilliant black
Right. Yeah. There was one black guy, and he got a pass to the front of the line, past all the qualified white guys. This has been a meme forever.
Yeah.
And by the way, good... 2 points for using the proper use of the word criterion as opposed to criteria.
Very good.
Yeah,
good. Excellent. Very good. Thank you.
Making his own point, I think.
Yes.
Assuming right. he's an African-American gentleman, that there are plenty of very talented, very smart people mm-hmm. competing for those kind of positions.
47 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks, who was good enough to eat with a spoon. Linda writes, Steph, I just heard you say you prefer the Dolly Parton version of I Will Always Love You. Me too. I'm old school too. Old school. Also saw a bit of Hal on TV last night. Charmageddon, he's cute. I know, right? Oh, my God. Also, my family and I are super. We got tickets to the March 3rd Chicago show.
Awesome.
Yay!
Crazy.
Sexier in person.
I prefer the Sex Pistols version of I'll Always Love You.
Yeah.
Linda Ronstadt did a version, too. I did not know that. That really? Was the other fun fact. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, isn't it ironic, File Chris? Thank you. Irony, thy name is a Heart Attack Grill. Someone has finally had a heart attack at Heart Attack Grill.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just asking for it.
Okay, yeah. And you were saying that the waitresses there dressed
like nurses.
Sexy nurses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ironically, probably have no medical training whatsoever and just have to, you know.
Yeah.
What a way to
go. That's the really funny part, yeah.
Is there a doctor in the house? Well, yes, he's the one having a heart attack. And the nurses are all... But then the paramedics show up with real gear and all that kind of stuff, and the waitresses all have to hide mm-hmm. embarrassed in the...
An unidentified man suffered cardiac arrest while eating a meal called the Triple Bypass Burger at Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas.
See, yeah, that's...
How many calories?
6,000.
Yes.
6,000 calories.
And that was the real tragedy. He was only halfway through it.
Yeah, right.
He's fine now. He's just saying.
Okay. No, he isn't.
Oh, he's not?
He's going to need surgery at some point in his life
yeah.
if he continues that way. He had a heart attack while eating.
Boy.
He's got bigger fish to fry. And fish might be a good move, actually.
Fried fish, yeah.
Yeah, right.
How many calories is that?
And later on today, of course, we'll get to hear Rush Limbaugh make more fat jokes about Michelle Obama and her let's move, let's try to have our kids eat better campaign.
Yeah, that nanny government, them trying to force their ideas down your throat by suggesting.
Forcing you to eat healthy.
Yeah.
French. Who do these people think they are?
I think they're people looking at the healthcare costs of this country and tracing them over time and looking where they're headed and knowing that the obesity epidemic that we're facing right now means a tripling in healthcare costs in about 10 years.
No,
and they're trying to lay that
epidemic.
Off.
Speaking of addicts, Rush, and also we were talking a lot about Whitney Houston this morning. Here's one I had not heard of. It's, well, I mean, I. Multimillionaire in New Yorker hospitalized after a manic $20 million shopping spree. He is bipolar and he spent $20 million in...
bipolar and has way too much money.
Yes.
Did.
Yes. With it, first of all, you know, in this economy, do you ever see these people and go, he made how much doing what?
Well,
with
he's working
million
overtime. He's bipolar. So
yes.
He's doing,
with a $100 million fortune from selling miniature ceramic houses.
What?
What?
Whatever.
Ed Bazinet is one of
New selling York's fake houses that were in developments in that haven't been built yet.
Yeah.
He's one of New York's richest men. 2 weeks ago,
the bric-a-brac king.
He suffered a manic break and purchased a $20 million.
Charlie Tchotchke, the bric-a-brac king, suffers manic attack.
He did. That's what he spent the money on, buying kitsch. $20 million of kitsch.
He's looking for his next big industry. That's what it was. Just
how much kitsch can you buy?
I know. Over the course of 5 days at the New York International Gift Fair. One vendor called him to confirm the order. The assistant said he had ordered $20 million worth of merchandise. She said he was having a bipolar incident and had been hospitalized. They were canceling all the orders. One of the things he ordered, 96,000 sachets and closet solutions for a total of $1.6 million from one vendor.
Huh?
That is like a... Only Marcus Bachman, I think, could order...
That much closet organization stuff.
Sachets and... Closets? Really,
my
what
closet
even
really
that?
Needs to be organized.
This whole closet, yeah, right. It's getting
crowded
stuffy
in
here, right?
I'm not coming out. I need a solution for staying in.
I need some oxygen here, please.
I need a solution to stay in and pretend I'm married and looking crazy. Yeah.
Turning this place into living quarters. I need to pack up some of these sweaters and put a couch in
here. I love a good sachet.
If I'm going to be spending the
What's
rest of my life in here, I want a television. I want cable.
Sachet. Sachet. It's like a,
what?
Sachet,
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't. I think you're making that up. All right.
They're two sisters, right? Right. Sachet, right.
Wow, hyperbole.
They're
RuPaul's
older sisters.
From the Washington Times. The Washington Times editorial. It's called "The End of the Constitution: Obamacare Birth Control Mandate Would Defeat the First Amendment."
Wow.
They call President Obama an anti-Christian, anti-religious bigot whose goal is to purge Christianity from civil society to marginalize religion from the public square.
Who are these morons?
Oh my!
The Washington Times.
Ah, well,
look at that.
Wow.
That those morons. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
And so imposing your singular religious views on gay people, for example, that's not a violation.
No.
You're going to fit that in. So
that's just God's will.
Yeah.
You're talking about another. Yeah. I have one more. The Senator Fold from Massachusetts. As state rep, Scott Brown voted for contraception mandate stronger than Obama's.
Huh.
However, he just joined the pack of Republicans not satisfied with the modification the president just made. He believes it needs to be clarified through legislation that would permit any employer or insurance plan to exclude any health service, no matter how essential, from coverage if they morally object to it.
Oh, great.
Which I think is a slippery Santorum slope. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think this is a rocket to, not to get too Alex Jones, but like eugenics, essentially? Like, I think population's a problem, so I'm morally opposed to any cure to any disease ever.
Right. Like if you have a disease, you had it coming.
Yeah, if I could save you, your child, your wife, your husband, your children, I'm morally opposed to that because overpopulation is a problem. So morally, I don't want to provide any medication whatsoever. But I want to keep my job as a pharmacist.
Yeah. By the way, Romney thinks mandatory drug testing for welfare recipients is an excellent idea. Georgia's controversial plan to mandate drug testing for all welfare recipients and all other beneficiaries of government assistance. Oh, anybody.
Anybody.
That's you, Grandma.
Who, right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Got a big endorsement from Mitt Romney. Rather than saving states money or ensuring taxpayer dollars aren't used to purchase drugs, mandatory testing laws have succeeded only in proving that welfare recipients are actually less likely to use drugs than the public at large. And implementing laws requiring drug testing is costing states like Florida money they don't have.
Yeah, they caught like 12 people.
Yeah.
Saved about $4,000 in benefits, and it cost $20 million to do it.
That's, I love you, House Sparks.
Fiscally conservative.
I love you, Hal Sparks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Just call me halsparks.com or at halsparks on Twitter. Okay. That's my new name.
Right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.